Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 Parking Church, Objection 1 Boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, I'm attended 400 lower level, their carousel 4 black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect, female, Hispanic, 28 years of age, blue jeans, no further.
Control, high rate 401 is en route.
Welcome to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Happy New Year's to everybody. Oh, no. I'm just checking to see if you're paying attention. I haven't lost my marbles, but I know the date. It is July, Christmas in July. At least that's what the sales circulars have been telling me for the last couple of weeks. Welcome tonight. This is Wednesday, July the 21st, 2010. I'm Rick McCann. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, an international security and police organization with membership and associates across the country and around the world. About 14 countries right now, and we're adding every day. We're glad you stopped by. We've got a lot of information to share with you, and we've got a great seminar going on right now. A lot of emails in on this one. A lot of questions in on this one, and we're going to share some of those with you in the coming up segments. But we'll be talking about civil litigation part two, culpability, responsibility, and liability. And we'll be talking more in depth about how does the civil court process work. The civil court process is so much different than the criminal process. People just do not understand that. They don't get it. And if you've never had any dealings with the civil court, if you've never been sued, you've never had creditor problems, you've never had to take someone to court because they didn't pay their rent, then you probably do not understand the inner workings of the civil court system. Much, much different than the criminal court. But we'll be talking more about that coming up. We're just glad to be able to share this time with you, and we're glad that you are here with us. If you'd like to email me while I'm on the radio tonight, the email here is radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. You want to tell us about an upcoming event in your neighborhood? You want to tell us about a promotion? Maybe you just got promoted to a site supervisor, a captain. Maybe you just became a manager of a company someplace. We'll be happy to share the information. If you want to tell us about something else happening in your neck of the woods, we'll be glad to let our listeners know that too. We have many listeners across the country and around the world, so we'll be happy to share that, and there is no cost. As always, I want to tell you how to reach us 24 hours a day. You can contact us on the internet. We are all over the place. We definitely have a growing footprint on the internet. You can go to our main website, which is currently under design. It will be released soon, www.privateofficer.com. Everything that has to do with us, you'll be able to find right there on that website. And we're just days, if not hours, away from releasing the updated version. You can also follow us at Facebook/PrivateOfficer.com. Facebook at PrivateOfficer.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Twitter/PrivateOfficer. Twitter/PrivateOfficer. We're also on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, our individual staff and our company group is there on LinkedIn. You can go to our own forums at www.privateofficer.ning.com. There you'll be able to share your photos, your videos. There's about 700 threads going there. We have members from around the country and the world there. You'll be able to share your ideas and network. Now, there are a lot more people that monitor the threads and the comments and the postings than actually take part in the conversations. I don't know why that is. It just happens that way. But if you'd like to take part, you can definitely do that at privateofficer.ning.com. You can also follow us every day, daily, at our web news blog, and that's privateofficernews.wordpress.com. We update that frequently. In fact, we just recently updated it earlier this afternoon. And every time that we update the blog, by the way, it sends out a tweet. And you're able to get a little summary of the topic, the header, if you are following us on Twitter. So that's one of the advantages of sharing that social site at Twitter. We are also on Plaxo and a number of other social networks. I just read something the other day, actually. Many businesses around the country, when social networking first began, they decided that it was a good thing. It was a good marketing tool. It was a good communication device. And many companies, including the media, immediately jumped on board and they began to sign up and open up numerous social network accounts where they could have friends and members and so on and so forth. Now, the trend is just the opposite. Now, companies and businesses, professionals are saying, whoa, no, this is too much for us. This is taking up way too much of our time. I've been saying that for months myself. If you are a social network guru, if you are a social network nut and you are everywhere, then you understand that from the time that you come home from work until the time you go to bed, and just about around the clock on the weekends and your days off, you're updating your post. You're updating your personality all over the social network. And that's very, very time-consuming, extremely. So businesses now realize, hey, this is getting a little bit too much, a little bit too involved, we're spending too much time. We're not getting a return on our investment the way that we thought that we would. So let's narrow down our social network contacts. Let's narrow down the site that we use to those that are the most popular, which obviously is MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn for professionals. Those are the most popular social networks. So many companies now, they do have someone who has sole responsibility of updating their information and monitoring what people are saying about them on the web and so forth. But many companies now have eliminated many social network sites because, you know, it is so involved, so time-consuming. When you're busy, you just don't have that time. It takes a lot of time to maintain those sites. But anyways, we're going to stay on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and our own forums, which are in the process of updating and going through some things of their own. But basically, Facebook and Twitter and our own forums, and of course our blog is where you can find us. And LinkedIn, we're there too. We mentioned over the last few radio programs that we will be doing a campaign, advertising campaign for recruitment coming up starting next month. We will be on that Facebook. We'll be on that social network, LinkedIn. We'll be on Yahoo. We'll be on, we'll try several others down the road. But we're going to try five major cities, or states, I should say, five major states at a time. California, Texas, Florida, Ohio, and I always forget the fifth one. They tell me that they're going to try the first month. But we'll be on, so be looking for us at those sites. We're always working on many, many different things for the association, for our members, for the associates, for our friends, for the industry. We're very, very innovative. We're very on top of things. And I think we're a leader. We will become the source, the number one source on the internet for all of your security resources, whether it be training, products, services, information, networking. PrivateOfficer.com will be the number one site to go to, and we're working on that rapidly, diligently, and we know that it's just a matter of time. Right now, my buddy, Bill Kavanaugh, has sent us an email. Bill says, are there any other sites for security associations? Thanks very much, Bill. No, there are no other sites on the website for security organizations. We are it. Number one. We'd love for you to help us to really be number one. All you have to do is spread the word. Let folks know in your industry, in your neck of the woods, in your neighborhood, your city, your town, your state, about this great organization, about this great website, about all of the services, products, training, networking that we offer, and help us to continue to build this great tool for private officers. Jerry wants to know very quickly about the chapters, and as you know from having mentioned it the last couple of programs, we are still working on that, and we hope to be able to finalize that list and those applicants very quickly. We hope to be done within a few weeks. Trust me, we are working on it. As you know, also, we are looking for co-hosts for our radio program. If you would like to be a co-host, if you would like to guest co-host the radio program, all that you have to do is let us know. Send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com and let me know the subject that you are interested in talking about. Research your subject, get your information together, get your facts together, get your ducks in a row. I'll be glad to let you co-host. We're also kicking off a brand new radio program called the LP Zone. We're so happy. We're so excited about it. It's a lot of great stuff going to be coming out of this. I'm telling you, a lot of great stuff. It's going to be very interactive. In fact, we're working on making this show much more interactive. A couple of issues that we have is, of course, many people have various schedules. I'm open to suggestions. If you want to tell me the best time slot that would fit the majority of our listeners, our members, send me an email, radio@privateofficer.com. If you want to offer a suggestion, a comment, I'm open. I'm listening. I'm all ears. Let me know. But We are kicking off the LP Zone coming up soon, and that is going to be a great, great show for loss prevention, retail security, shopping mall officers, and I think it's going to be a big hit. If you want to co-host that one, you can do it. If you are involved in loss prevention, either as a mall security officer or an LP agent, LP manager, trainer, so on and so forth, just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. Chris Upton emailed and he wants to know, very interesting. He wants to know, or he's suggesting, actually, that we do a program at the Mall of America. I'm sure by now some of you, or maybe all of you, have seen the new cop show, reality show, called Mall Cops, where they are at the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota, just outside of St. Paul and Minneapolis area. The largest mall in the U.S. of A. You know, they've got a force of officers there that are larger than most police departments in the nation. I know you think about Chicago, New York, L.A., Miami, Detroit, Houston, Dallas. You think, woo, big police departments. We got lots of big police departments. But the reality is, and this goes for the fire department too, by the way, the reality is most police agencies are small. Most police agencies are under 50 officers. So the Mall of America has a staff that is substantially larger than the average police force. And they cover one of the largest areas. It's like a huge city inside there. I've never been there myself, I confess. But from what I've seen, read numerous times, and I have caught the show. I have caught the show a few times, so I confess. It really does look very large. So if you are involved in loss prevention, mall security, we'd love to have you on as a guest. Just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Upcoming radio programs, we've had a lot of interest in HUD Section 8 training. We'll be doing a show about HUD Section 8 tax-deferred property security, which is a totally different type of security than most private agencies are familiar with, although some do provide HUD security or security on housing projects. It is a specialty area of security. We'll be talking in depth about that, and I'll be doing a training seminar. Speaking about training seminars, did you know? Have you heard? Shh, don't tell nobody. Just between me and you. Just between me and you. We're giving away free training. Oh, yeah. No, it's true. It's true. We're giving away free training. All you have to do is send us an email to trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. Invite us to your business, your company, your church, your community. And we'll hold an all-day training seminar about use of force and liability, just like we're talking about tonight. We will teach you about the use of force, the steps in the use of force, the levels of force, and the liability issues that we're going to be talking about tonight. How much does it cost? What? No, it's free. Free, F-R-E-E. You can't get any cheaper than free. All you have to do is send us an email. Right now, we are trolling the southeast corner of the U.S. will be in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida. And then from there, we'll be heading to the Southwest, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma. And then from there, we'll be going to New England. So if you are interested in getting some free FREE training for your business, your church, your company, all you have to do is send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com, and we will schedule it in. Our next training is coming up in East Tennessee in about 2 weeks. We are in beautiful North Florida recently, had a great time there, and we'll be scheduling many other free seminars. Now remember, just between us. No, actually, we'd like for you to pass the word. What many companies are going to, I'm sure, wind up doing, several have already. You may have only 3 or 4 or 5 people working on your facility, on your post. Maybe only 6 people in your proprietary department. Several companies, including a hospital, have gotten together with another hospital security staff, invited them over for the training on that day, and they're holding a joint training session. So there's an idea for you. We'll also be doing some networking and recruiting. We may even broadcast our radio program from your site. Pretty cool, huh? Want to make another big announcement right now? Listen up. Everybody listening? Okay. We've got a great new product that we are introducing tonight to you. Starting, I guess right now, probably Monday would be better, but starting immediately, we will be marketing our seminars on a one-disc CD. You can go to our website, our new website coming up as soon as it gets released. And just like you can now take modules of training online, you can now order a module of training on a CD disc, one at a time, or 2 or 3 or 5 different subjects. The ones that you want, you can order. Now, we also have an excellent boot camp CD series going like hot potatoes. It's a little pricey at $169.95, but it's on sale for $99. If you're interested in getting a copy of the boot camp training seminar, you can go to send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com or go to our website, because I believe it's up and running. It's there. The CD individual model training module. I promise I haven't been drinking, but I am tired. The individual module training on the CD, I believe, is going to be $24.95. It will include shipping. If you order more than 3 modules, you'll get a discount. But to be honest with you, if you order 5, 6, 7, 8 modules, it would be cheaper to buy the whole series. See, I'm looking out for you, trying to save you some money. But that's a great new item that's being offered. Very in-depth, long form. A lot of times people ask, well, how come, you know, you don't go into all the different areas when you're doing a training on the radio program? How come you seem to leave stuff out? Well, as we've talked about before, there is some limitation in the time. Also, the format doesn't lend itself always to teaching things about handcuffing and pepper spray and all that, which really needs to be done. live and in person, or through a video, which we are working on videos, and we also have a number of PowerPoints put together that are also available, and you'll soon be able to download on demand other training, copies of our radio programs, and so much more. See? So we're all about you. We're all about enhancing your training, your knowledge, and we hope that you take advantage of all the tools that are coming together for you. There are no other companies, trust me when I tell you this, no other companies doing anything like this. We're going to switch gears very quickly. I want to go over the news. We have a lot of stuff in the news tonight, like always. Some people would rather not have this segment in, but I think it's a very important aspect of our show. And so because we have an extensive training segment tonight, we want to go ahead and cover the news. So Wall Street Journal reporter was arrested in Chicago today. Courthouse security say that reporter Doug Belkin, who works for the Wall Street Journal, was trying to interview Rod Blagojevich. You may remember him. He's a Chicago, the Illinois governor that was kind of kicked out of the office, and he's now going through a legal process in Chicago. Private security, who are also deputized U.S. Marshals, by the way, in the federal courthouse, they say that the reporter pushed them out of the way, so they were warned them several times and eventually had to arrest the reporter for the assault and interfering. In Alabama, in Wadawi, Alabama, which is in Randolph County, pretty rural area of the state, State Alabama Bureau of Investigation agents, Randolph County Sheriff's Office, and other law enforcement agencies are looking into the death of an off-duty Oxford police officer. Authorities say that William Hancock, 28, a police officer with the Oxford, Alabama Police Department, his wife Tabitha, and their son Logan were found shot to death yesterday in their home. Neighbors called police after being concerned that they had not seen the Hancocks, but knew that their vehicles were there. Deputy sheriffs were dispatched. They forced open the door, and they found the three dead bodies scattered throughout the home. They're not saying if this is a suicide murder or if this is a murder. The investigation is continuing. In Cambridge, Mass., Henry Sosa, 58, was arrested for assaulting and resisting a security officer at the A.J. Wright store. Law enforcement officers say that he was loitering and was told to leave. When he didn't comply, security personnel went to arrest him, and he picked up a bicycle lock and struck a loss prevention agent. He was subdued and taken into custody. He's been transported to the county jail. Breaking news today out of High Point, North Carolina, that is in the Smoky Mountain region of North Carolina, near the Tennessee border. A 75-year-old security guard working at a trucking company was pepper sprayed, beat, and robbed early this morning by a man and woman. Jeppa Brown Leach, the security guard at the Carolina Southern Incorporated, a trucking company, said that an acquaintance that he knew stopped by the facility and asked to borrow some money. The security guard said he didn't have any. As he tried to walk away, the man attacked him, pepper sprayed him, and then robbed him of his wallet. State troopers arrested Marvin Lee Nelson and Carolyn Dawn Hunt. They're charging them with robbery with a dangerous weapon, and they have them in custody, in jail, and hopefully the justice system will take care of them. An Alabama man has confessed to a murder that happened 30 years ago in New York. A man now living in Alabama says, yes, he did kill his wife 30 years ago in Olmstedville, New York, and disposed of the body. Thomas A. Collard, 62, of Sampson, Alabama, said, yes, he did commit murder in November 27, 1980. He killed his wife, his then-wife, June Marion Collard, and then moved out of New York and eventually wound up in Alabama. According to police working the cold case, they traced evidence back to him. During an interview, he confessed 30 years later. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania casino owners say they're tired of cheaters. So the Rivers Casino, the newest casino in Pennsylvania, has begun using a new high-tech security system that recognizes you and me. Their system uses facial recognition and other recognition software that identifies people who are known cheaters in the gambling world throughout the country. 900 cameras in the casino. In this one casino alone, is constantly scanning faces. The program instantly runs the photo through the FBI, and listen to this one, and the CIA and other databases. They know if you're a wanted person. They also have undercover state troopers at the casino. Dallas metro area police say that they conducted a gang raid Monday. It netted 105 people in the arrest. They say that the cooperation between the local, state, and federal agencies, including the Fort Worth, Dallas, Arlington, Irving, and Carrollton, Texas police departments, gathered up Salvadorian illegal immigrants who were wanted for home invasions and other gang-related crimes. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, police there say that a man has been arrested after punching a security officer who wouldn't let him into a South Fifth Avenue bar. 20-year-old security officer was cut above his eye. Police were notified. They were able to apprehend the suspect. He was taken to the county jail, locked up, and later released on a bond. In New York City, New York, NYC, an enraged security guard whose job was on the line viciously slashed his boss in Lower Manhattan yesterday morning. The 35-year-old security guard flew into a rage, according to police, after supervisors threatened to let him go. They said that he had not been pulling his weight and he had violated company policies. Paramedics were called and a 60-year-old security supervisor was taken into custody. Was taken to the Bellevue Hospital in stable condition. The guard who committed the stabbing fled and is wanted at this hour. Tulsa, Oklahoma school security police just got a new authority. The Tulsa Public Schools voted to allow campus officers the authority to issue traffic citations. According to the Tulsa School Board, the amendment allows their private police to issue citations in and around schools. Tulsa Public Schools has 20 commissioned officers, 14 marked and 4 unmarked police cruisers. They say that there's been a rise in speeding vehicles and reckless vehicles in and around school property. Also, the school crossing guard program has been reduced from 96 to 66 crossing guards, and they need the extra enforcement in the school zones. Ventura, California, another young female security officer has been injured. Police say that two shoplifters at a shopping center liquor store attempted to flee with merchandise. When the female security officer approached them, They punched their way past her, slammed her head against the wall, and injured her face, knocking her to the ground. She was taken to the hospital. Police are now looking for the suspects, and a Crime Stoppers reward has been offered. In Detroit, school security there say that they need better pay and better benefits. Detroit Public School has about 300 security officers who recently had their pay cut from $13 to $11 an hour. They're also asking for increased benefits. In Columbia, South Carolina, the Lexington County Sheriff's Office says that two off-duty parole officers who were working as security at a nearby strip mall were able to capture a hotel robbery suspect. The parole agents noticed the man coming over a fence from the Motel 6 and went to investigate. They found that the armed robbery suspect had just robbed the hotel at the Motel 6 on Burning Tree Drive. They were able to get him into custody before law enforcement got there. The man was armed with a handgun and had a bandana on his face. Roanoke, Virginia, you may have remembered may have heard this case. A loss prevention agent at the JCPenney in Roanoke, Virginia, at the Roanoke Mall, opened fire on a fleeing shoplifter several months ago at the Valley View Mall. He was later terminated for having a weapon unauthorized, and he was arrested by law enforcement. Well, Dewar Anwar was indicted in May on recklessly handling his firearm, but the judge says no go on the charges. The charges were tossed because in Virginia, it is legal to use deadly force against a person that you believe committed a felony. Circuit Court Judge Clifford Wickstein said Virginia law allows all private citizens making a citizen's arrest to use deadly force when they believe a felony has occurred. So he tossed the charge, and the security officer walked free. San Diego police say they were at the right place at the right time when a man walking through a local park decided to expose himself to a plainclothes police officer. James Arndt, 46, was naked except for a blanket slung over his shoulders. He was taken into custody at 4:45 a.m. yesterday morning by Captain Sarah Crichton. She says he presented himself as she was walking through the park with other joggers. According to police, they'd had numerous incidents in the month prior to the arrest. A Dallas police officer has been arrested for child porn, according to law enforcement in Dallas. Police officer Isaac D. La Rosa had sexually explicit photos of kids and posted them on the internet. An undercover investigation found that the officers was posting the nude pictures of children from his home computer. He turned himself in after a search warrant was obtained. He's been an officer since 2007. He's facing a second-degree felony. No words today as whether or not he has been terminated. A security officer has been shot and killed while patrolling a shopping center. This happened in Kern County, California. Police say a security officer was on patrol Sunday evening when several Hispanic males were causing a disturbance at a restaurant. Francisco Flores, 34, a former part-time sheriff's deputy officer, approached the men. A confrontation ensued, and the security officer was shot numerous times. No one has been arrested in the case yet, but they are looking for the suspects. New London, Connecticut, police there say a growing trend of responding to disturbed individuals and mental health calls has prompted them to be one of the first law enforcement agencies in their area to form a special crisis intervention team to handle these calls of emotionally disturbed individuals, potential suicide situations, and volatile situations. Many police departments across the country have now formed CIT teams, crisis intervention teams. They respond to the violent, to the suicidal, to the mental health and emotionally disturbed individual calls. Lieutenant Richard Cochran, who is the team's coordinator, says he's been advocating for the CIT team for several years and just recently got the approval to go ahead. Also, you may remember this case. A woman in El Paso, Texas, last month was apprehended by loss prevention at the Sam's Club for shoplifting. Anna Zubate, 29, bit the loss prevention agent numerous times before fleeing. Well, police arrested her this week and charged her with aggravated robbery and endangering a child. She was taken to the lockup and jailed on $60,000 bond. A school security officer in Fort Arthur, Texas, reported being robbed Monday morning while on patrol at the Washington Elementary on Texas Avenue. He told officers that he was inside a locked area of the schoolyard when several armed men approached him. They took his vehicle, his cell phone, and his money. The men then jumped the fence and ran away, and one took his vehicle. There is a reward for information leading to the arrest of the suspects. Buffalo, New York, a Niagara Falls man was, well, he was just out to no good, up to no good. Police say he now faces a half a dozen charges after he was involved in a shoplifting incident at a grocery store where he then struck a pedestrian trying to get away from security. Police say that Stephen Bellin hit the pedestrian on his way out of the parking lot. He now faces second-degree assault, first-degree reckless endangerment, leaving the scene of an accident, second-degree aggravated robbery, larceny, and fifth-degree criminal possession of stolen property. New Jersey police say that they've seen a spike in thefts, shopliftings in the state of New Jersey on the rise. Many law enforcement departments there are reporting more than usual amounts of shoplifting going on in their areas. In Whitesburg, Kentucky, police there say a woman left her children inside a vehicle that was closed up and hot while she went into a grocery store and shoplifted. 32-year-old Perlina Gibson of Dry Fork, Kentucky, left her 5- and 6-year-old and 2-month-old child for more than a half hour inside the hot car Friday evening while she was shoplifting. Police took her into custody and got the children assistance. She's now at the Letcher County Jail facing wanton endangerment, criminal child abuse, and theft. In the Atlanta metro area in DeKalb County, police say that a shopper at the North Lake Mall was robbed and shot Sunday afternoon. Police chased 4 suspects from the scene. They caught 3 of them. The 4th one is still on the loose. Police say that the armed men accosted the shopper as they were approaching their vehicle. All 3 people in custody are facing robbery, aggravated assault, and other charges. In Ohio, if you are living there now, listen up, this is for you. Ohio police, state troopers admit, yes, they have speed traps on the interstates. Ohio State Police say that they have to be active on a very busy interstate system there. There are a number of hot spots, the top ticket spots in Ohio. Interstate 71 just northwest of Wilmington at milepost 48. From July 2007 through 2009, state troopers wrote 5,524 tickets at that one location. People coming out of Cincinnati are in congested areas, but when they get out on the open road, they tend to put the pedal to the metal, according to Ohio State Patrol Officer Jack Tibbs. Number two in the state, U.S. Route 23, milepost 18 in Lucasville. State troopers there wrote 4,575 tickets. Number three is I-71, milepost 187, just east of Ashland. Police there wrote 4,291. The top spot on I-75 is number four on the list. Milepost 70 on I-75, they wrote just under 4,000 tickets. If you're in the Dayton area, police there have several hotspots, writing more than 3,180 tickets in 18 months. We do get a lot of speeding vehicles through our state, says a lieutenant from the Highway Patrol. TSA officers say that they want to unionize down in Fort Lauderdale. Security officers for the TSA say they're moving closer to officially becoming unionized. At a news conference at a Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport, TSA officer Glenn Cook said overtime and evaluation issues were pressing concerns. We want better treatment and a more honest evaluation system. The American Federation of Government Employees has unofficially represented TSA workers nationwide for the past 7 years. But during that time, they've campaigned to be the official union for TSA officers. Now, it looks like that the TSA officers are close to a contract negotiation with the union, and we'll be following that, and we'll update you soon. In Traverse City, Michigan, a security officer is suing the Sheriff's Department. Eddie Moore has filed a lawsuit against Sheriff Scott Fewins. He said while working at the county courthouse, the sheriff lied about him and said he was a gang member when in fact he is not. It caused him to lose his standing with the department and he was transferred to another courthouse further away in the county. Now the security officer is suing the sheriff. And we will also be following that story. Salt Lake City, Utah. Police there say a security guard at a Salt Lake condominium complex is charged with attempted murder. Police say that he stabbed one of the residents after getting into a confrontation. The 48-year-old victim who lives at the complex is in critical condition tonight with multiple stab wounds. The security guard, 45-year-old William Curtin, has been charged with suspicion of attempted murder, according to police. They're not sure exactly what happened in this situation. They know a confrontation ensued, and a security officer stabbed the man. In Richmond, Virginia, while most people go to court to settle differences, some people do get arrested while they're there. Tony Lafford Matthews, 35, has been charged in the Henrico County courtroom with creating a disturbance. She was taken out of the court in handcuffs and escorted to the jail across the street. Matthews threatened clerks and her attorney after she was not happy with the way that things were happening in the courtroom. She threatened to go get a gun out of her car. She's currently in the jail, being held on a number of charges. An off-duty Chicago police officer just a week before retirement was shot and killed Sunday on the south side of Chicago. Police say that Officer Michael Bailey had just arrived home 6 a.m. Sunday from duty. He was outside near his vehicle when several armed people approached him. Police say it may have been a carjacking. Bailey, who turned 63, the mandatory retirement age for Chicago police, was shot several times and died. He's the third police officer killed in Chicago since May. A tragic and stunning reminder of the senseless violence that continues in the Chicago area. A university, Yale University police officer struck a Yale resident, a college student, with his patrol car. Police are investigating. They say that the pedestrian was walking across the street as he exited a Yale University transit bus stop. Police have not identified the officer, but they say that the student is in fair condition. Injuries are severe. In Fort Lauderdale, police there say a security officer working at a department store was assaulted while attempting to make an apprehension. Police say the security officer was punched a number of times. The suspects dropped the merchandise from the Sears store and fled across the street. Police are looking for the suspect. The security officer was treated at the scene. Cincinnati, Ohio, I mentioned this last week. A security officer was killed a number of years ago while working at a nightclub in 2005. Security officer Jerry Gilbert was at a New Year's Eve party. A fight ensued. People were asked to go outside. They were moving the crowd. Suddenly, gunfire erupted. The security officer fell to the floor. It took 8 years, but the FBI's Violent Crimes Task Force and AMW, America's Most Wanted TV show, finally tracked down the person that police thought was responsible. Cyril Bird was apprehended in Arizona. But unfortunately, on November 18, 2008, he was acquitted. Police now in Cincinnati say that they are starting all over again. The cold case squad has this, and they are actively seeking the suspect. This story was brought to us by Brian Hosteg, one of the associates and members in Cincinnati, and we appreciate that, Brian. And if you have a story, a news item, or something that you think is conducive to what we should bring to our members, our associates, please don't hesitate to let us know. Moving on to the news, I do want to remind you that we are right now preparing for the Private Officer Memorial Week. It's our second annual, September 19th through the 25th. Don't forget that date. Please mark it in your calendar. We will be holding a number of live events, and you can hold a live event too. It doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be extensive. It doesn't have to be costly. We're asking that if you have 3 or 4 or 10 members of your security department just to get together for a few moments. We'll be happy to provide you the names of the officers deceased in your state or your region. We also have a ceremony prep for you. We'll be happy to send you a little outline of how you can prepare a 10 or 15 minute ceremony. You can also write your mayor, your governor, and have a proclamation issued that recognizes September 19th through the 25th, 2010, as a Private Security Officer Memorial Week. Numerous people have already done that. Brian Crisp, a security manager up in Delaware, Jimmy Reeves, Lou Steiner, we appreciate all of you for your hard work. You can also get involved. You don't have to spend money. You don't have to rent any facility. You don't have to have dinner. You don't have to make it a big ordeal. Just get together and remember these people. Want to remember today, happy birthday to Cal, who is 55. He's in Star, Mississippi. Thanks, Cal, for being a member. Happy birthday to you. Bert in Alton, Pennsylvania is 62, and he's a security officer for more than 30 years. 30 years. Congratulations, Bert. Mike Martinez in Phoenix, Arizona says he's 49 years young and he is a security manager. He doesn't say where, but he is. Tony Garr in Fulton County, Georgia, which is here in the Atlanta metro area, 35. Happy birthday to you. Want to recognize also this week, Jimmy Baker. Jimmy Baker recently received his certified church security specialist certification, and we want to recognize him and congratulate him. We also want to recognize Cecil Rowe in Littleton, Colorado. He also received his certified asset protection professional. And, you know, these people, they work hard. And so congratulations to you. Happy birthday, all of our birthday people this week. We're very, very glad to be able to say that we've got a great training program. We're being recognized by many different companies. And thank you for all of those people who continue to write in and become involved in training through our training academy and through the Public Safety Training Institute. As I've said before, what have I said? I said training equates to job security, position enhancement, and it could save your life. And that's the facts. You got to know what you're doing. In tonight's emails, we have a number of emails that I'll share with you very quickly. Tom wrote in just to say he loves the show, and he's shared it with a number of people. Benny wrote in asking that how to download the program, download the programs, the radio show. And we are now on iTunes, so you'll be able to do that. You can also, I think we're able to send you a file electronically. So if you want the program and you can't get it off the podcast or whatever, just let us know. Ricky wrote in. He's happy that he is now a POI member, and he loves the organization. And we have a number of other people who have written in about the liability seminar that we're doing. They have a number of questions, which we're going to share those shortly on the training segment. We want you to understand tonight. We want you to know. We want you to have no doubts whatsoever that we're here for you. And if you have any questions, suggestions, comments, we want you to email us. Send us an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Like I said, we are building a website that will be the place to go, the number one place to go for security products, security training, information, networking, services. We're going to be there. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want that involves the security or law enforcement industry, you'll be able to get it there rather than shopping around at 15 other locations. Think of this. Well, yeah, think of us as the Walmart Supercenter for security. And we've got a number of other tricks up our sleeve, and we're working on numerous things. Just stick in there, baby, with us. You'll go places. Really, we do. We have tons of things that we're working on. And as I've been saying for quite a while, we just can't get there fast enough for me. But now we do want to go into our training. Tonight we're going to be talking about liability, culpability, and responsibility. There are many issues in the security industry that we have to deal with. But one of the biggest issues is this subject, liability, culpability, responsibility, you just don't understand, really, how much is at stake until you get in the middle of a situation. It's just unbelievable.
Police are saying the security guard fired a shot into the victim. A security guard shot a suspected shoplifter.
They're hired to keep us safe.
A security guard accused of killing a man on the job will answer to those charges.
But they often wind up on the wrong side of the law.
There's a guy laying face down in his blood.
Shootings by security guards are in the news more than you think.
This industry is out of control.
But the state hasn't kept records of security guard shootings.
The regulations are grossly outdated.
A security guard shot and killed him. How something needs to be done to protect the public.
Our investigation discovered weak training requirements for guards and little state oversight of security companies can be a deadly combination.
There are so many things that can go wrong if you're a security officer. There are so many situations that you can be involved in, lickety split, just like that. Now, if you are one of those people who don't care, who could care less, then this show is not for you. But if you are concerned, if you are worried, if you are troubled about the liability aspect, the responsibility aspect of being in your position, and let me explain something to you. You don't have to be in security to worry about liability aspects or the civil possibilities. Any business owner, anyone who has any type of business has to be concerned about what might happen if they do the wrong thing? What might happen if someone gets hurt in their store? Someone falls because of the wet floor. Someone is injured because of something that they were negligent for. We're going to be talking tonight and today and this week. We're going to be talking in this segment and in the upcoming segment about a number of things involving the civil court process. So much different than the criminal process. We'll be talking about point of law, case law, actionable cause, tort law, lawsuits, judgments, burden of proof, damages, cause of action, liens, execution of judgment, complaint filing, waivers, settlements, recovery, arbitration. Woo! My head's spinning already. You understand? This is the civil workings of the civil court. How does the civil process work? Do you even know? Have you ever thought about it? How does it affect what you do every day? What is culpability? Why should you even care? And how can the civil liability be worse than criminal prosecution? That's what this seminar is all about. As I mentioned in the first segment, many people do not understand what the civil process is. They do not understand that it's a complete and separate and different entity, a different aspect of the criminal court process. Most people today get their court, quote unquote, education from either the TV, the Judge Judy's and the Judge Brown's and the Judge Alex and Judge Piora and Judge Mathis, or from the actual unfortunate being the respondent being named in the civil process, being sued either by a credit card company or a collection agency, and we're going to go into that. The next segment, we're going to be talking all about the civil court process. What happens when a complaint is filed? What happens after you get served? How much time do you have to respond? What happens if the judgment gets issued against you? What is the execution of a judgment? We're going to be talking all about that in the next segment. But tonight we want to talk about all of the possibilities, all of the what ifs, the how comes, what should I. We want to talk all about the scenarios. There are so many different laws and standards of the civil court people don't understand. I told you in the first segment, that the criminal court, you must be found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But in a civil court, you only have to be found guilty by a preponderance of the evidence. Just tip the scale one way or the other. That's going to make a big difference whether or not a judgment is handed down for you or against you, whether or not you win or the person who is suing you wins. Yep. I ain't got nothing now. I ain't gonna worry about all that now. I ain't got no money. I ain't got nothing and can't get nothing. I hear it all the time. We're gonna be talking next segment about the execution of a judgment. What it means to you if you lose in court. I've had a lot of people in the last week, in the last few days, actually, email and ask, what if this, and what if my boss doesn't want this, and what do I do about that? There's a lot of concern if you really, truly care about your job, your reputation, your credit, your livelihood, then you're going to be worried about the civil liability aspect. Civil liability can be blamed against you, a group of individuals, your company, for any wrongdoing. In the first segment, we told you about an actual lawsuit. This is an example of what can go wrong. You maybe did not mean to do something. You maybe was not intending for something bad to happen. But in segment one, we talked about how a security officer making his rounds, he had a duty, an obligation. It was written down post order. It was on the sign on the pool. Pool closes at 9 p.m. He was making his rounds. It was a hot summer night. They had an outdoor pool. Some folks had just checked in. He went to lock up the swimming pool after locking up other areas of the property. And they convinced him, oh, it's so hot out. Whew, it's so muggy. Oh, we just got here. We just want to cool off. Let us take a quick swim. Being a nice guy. You know, you've heard about nice guys finish last. Well, being a nice guy, he said, sure, I've got a couple of things to do. Let me go do them. I'll come right back. Be out in 15 minutes. What did he do just then? What did he just do? Most people do not understand. They do not realize the consequences of not following the policy, the consequences of not fulfilling your duty. Under the civil law, when you do not fulfill your duty, when you do not follow procedure, when you do not follow what is instructed of you, it's called negligence. It makes no difference if you intended for it to happen. It makes no never mind if it was all unintentional, just a mistake. They don't care if you're sorry. Because when you do something negligent, when you fail to perform your duties as specified, you are culpable in the incident. In this situation, the security guard was dispatched to bring tiles up to the third floor. He was dispatched to do things that was not his duty. And yet, it was his duty, because as a employee or as a contractor, you have to do what the client wants. Well, guess what? The desk clerk is the representative of the client. He's acting in the client's behalf. So while the security officer is off doing other things, he forgot. The 15 minutes became 30, became 40, became an hour. And all of a sudden, death to security guard, death to security guard. Get down to the pool. Go to the swimming pool. We got someone drowning down there. Quick. And the security guard ran down the stairs. Hot summer night. He's sweating already. Sweat profusely pouring off his body. And he hustles down to the swimming pool. There's a crowd that's gathered. There's a child who's just drowned, a young child, in the pool. And they pull the child out. They perform CPR. And, oh, come on, baby. Oh, come on, you can breathe. Come on, you can live. The ambulance comes. The police come. Everybody's there. They take the child to the hospital, and they begin to investigate. The security guard didn't throw the child into the pool. He didn't knock him into the pool. He didn't make the kid drown. But under the civil law, he might as well have, because he did not follow through his duties. He was culpable. He was negligent by leaving the pool unlocked for 5, 10, 15 minutes, 2 hours, it makes no difference. What I want to drive home to you tonight, right this second, before we get any further, any deeper into this segment, it doesn't matter what your intentions are. It doesn't matter that you're trying to be a nice guy. Two things that you must remember today. Two things. Number one, if you have been instructed by your employer, i.e. the client or the representative, either verbally or through a post order or an email of what your duties are, and you fail to do them, you are negligent. Most times, nothing happens. Most times, you can sail on through like nothing, you know, of it. Nothing happens. Everything is good. Yeah, I messed up that one, but no one noticed. What about that one time when something happens? It's like the guy speeding down the interstate, 80 miles an hour, 90 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, drunk as a skunk. 15 times, nothing happens. He makes it into his driveway, stumbles into the house. Wakes up the next morning in bed, goes to work, wakes up, goes to work. Time after time, he drives drunk around town, down the interstate, wheels and a few near misses, but everything is great. What happens when all of a sudden he loses control and he crashes? He's negligent. He's culpable. He's responsible. Same thing for you. Maybe you might 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe even 10 times get away with not doing something the way it's supposed to be done. Maybe nothing happens. Your boss doesn't know it. Nobody catches it. And then all of a sudden, it catches up to you. And something bad goes down. Something bad happens. And who's responsible? Not the man in the moon, not your neighbor, not your boss, you. I was just trying to be a nice guy. They asked me, and they're a customer, and I want to be nice to them. I'm just trying to help them. No. Two things to remember tonight. You have a duty to fulfill. if it's in writing or it's been verbalized by your client, your boss, that's your job. You do not have a right, legal or otherwise, to change the post order. You don't have a right, legal or otherwise, to make a decision on your own. The problem in the security industry is too many Indians want to be chiefs. They want to be in charge. Hey, I don't like the way the boss is doing this. I don't like the way the boss wants me to do this and thus and this. Get another job. Go elsewhere. There's been times I didn't agree with the manager, the supervisor, the boss, but I had to do the job or I had to go find another one. Remember, if you do not do your job as you have been told to do, as you've been specified to do, you are culpable should something happen. And more than that, you could be charged in a criminal case. In the incident at the swimming pool, the security officer came just inches away, literally, of being locked up for negligent homicide because he failed to secure the swimming pool. No different than if he threw the child into the pool himself. You are held responsible for neglecting your duties. A number of people have asked me over the last few days. They've emailed me. They've called. What if my boss says this? What if my boss says that? I'm going to tell you in a few minutes how to handle that. So if you were one of those people who emailed and asked, I'm going to give you the answer coming up shortly. But remember, negligence means that you neglected. Negligence means neglected your duty, your obligation. It doesn't have anything to do with intent. It doesn't have anything to do with I meant to do it or I didn't mean to do it. You can be found guilty of negligence, culpable by ignorance, by negligence. There's no doubt in my mind, not one doubt, that that security officer was just trying to be a nice guy, just trying to help these hotel patrons. But unfortunately, it was an error. It was a mistake. When you're wearing the uniform, when you're assigned to a job, no matter if it's security, desk clerk, maintenance man, whatever it is, you have to uphold your end of the bargain. You've got to do your job. I don't know how many hundreds of times, maybe thousands, definitely hundreds, that I said, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing what I've been hired to do. Yeah, well, I don't like what you're doing. I don't really, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm just doing my job. No different than the Walmart sales clerk, the cashier. No different than the crossing guard. No different than anyone who's doing their job. And let me let you in on a little secret. If you're doing your job properly, if you're doing your job effectively, if you're doing your job as you're supposed to be doing it, you're going to get people who don't like it. You're going to get people who complain. You're going to get people up in your face because you're doing your job. That's a sign right there that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. you're fulfilling your obligation. Many times, we don't fulfill our obligation, our end of the bargain as an employee to the company. We don't follow through as we should, whatever the job might be. One of those TV court cases, I remember, I don't remember if it was Judge Judy or Judge Alex, but a family had gone on vacation and they had a friend come by the house to grab the mail and feed their dog every day, take the dog out for a walk, grab the mail and the paper, make it look like somebody was at home. They were only going to be gone for a day or two. Second day out, their friend, whoever it was, came over. While they were getting the mail, while they were putting the mail up, the dog got loose, ran out of the house, and was gone like the wind. He hit the road. And before you know it, a car hit him. When the family got home and they heard about this, of course they were upset. They sued for damages. It wasn't intentional. It was an accident. The person that was watching the dog was putting up the mail. The dog opened up the door, more or less, with his nose and got out. But in this case, the judge ruled for the owners of the dog. Why? It was an accident. It was a mistake. It wasn't intentional. The dog had some part in it. The dog didn't have to run out of the house. The dog should have stayed there. The dog should have done this. The dog should have done that. No, you're responsible to make sure the door is secure, that the dog cannot escape. The person was found guilty, negligent, culpable. What happens when we don't do our job 100% as it should be done? What happens when we get laxed? We get too comfortable. Security guard at a car dealership falls asleep in one of the buildings about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. He gets a rude awakening. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, he hears somebody's knocking at the door. He doesn't know what's going on. He's out of it. It's the fire department. The fire department? What's on fire? What's going on? I didn't call the fire department. The used car dealership building next door, fully involved. The sprinkler system, this fire alarm went off. The guard slept through it, didn't know what was going on. He was in a separate building. His company, not him, was found culpable, responsible. Why? The guard never lit it on fire. He didn't toss the cigarette butt in the trash can. He didn't do this. But his duty was to protect and to serve the property, to make sure that everything was okay. If it wasn't for the fact that he was sleeping, he probably would have caught the fire a lot sooner. He was negligent in his duties for being asleep. Have you ever fallen asleep on the job? Hey, let's be truthful now. Let's be honest. A lot of us work two jobs, sometimes even three. The guard job is just one of those jobs that fits in between our other two jobs, our other job. Sometimes we're in school and we're working a job just to make it. But what happens if you are dozed off, dozed, what happens then? Whatever's happening on the property, you're responsible for. You're going to be responsible, you're going to be negligent, you're going to be held to account for what you did or didn't do. Situations come and go every day. In our business, we have to make split decisions. We just gave you a seminar about making the call when seconds count. That's all about. All of this is all wrapped up in the same thing. Listen to what I'm telling you now. You got to make quick decisions. You got to make smart decisions. You got to understand that no matter what you do, you're going to be held accountable for what you do. I'm not telling you you'll be held accountable for what your boss tells you not to do. That's a whole different ball game. Email that I received this week, yesterday morning, said my boss has told me over and over again, if there's a medical emergency, a heart attack, do not get involved. Do not get involved. Call 911. It's not that the guy has no heart. It's not that the guy wants the patron, the employee, to die, to bleed to death. That's not the case. But it all comes back to the bottom line. It all comes back to the liability aspect. If their guards get involved and their security officers get involved and they make a mistake, they perform the CPR incorrectly and break some ribs, which happens anyways, by the way, if they cause the person's death, security company owners think, oh, I'm going to be liable, so I'd rather let the guy not do anything. Well, guess what? By standing there idly while somebody is choking to death, by standing there while somebody is bleeding to death, while standing there while somebody's having a cardiac arrest, you're still liable. You're still culpable. You're still responsible. You may not be culpable, but you're definitely negligent. The family of the victim can probably bring a case against you in civil court. Now, I will tell you this, and we're going to get more in depth about this tomorrow. Most civil litigations, most cases are handled outside the courtroom. Most cases never make it to trial. The only ones that make it to trial are those that, you know, can't be settled. There's a whole back and forth negotiation that goes on once a lawsuit has been filed. People don't want to go to court. If a company is sued, they want to settle it as quickly as possible. The same thing if you have a car wreck. Insurance companies do not want to go through the whole courthouse procedure. They want to settle that claim as quickly as possible. Why? Because it's advantageous. It's going to be quicker, better, cheaper for them to do it now, to settle, even though they're going to try and settle for less than what they should. But when a lawsuit is filed, same thing happens. No company has the time to pay their attorneys. Do you know how much attorneys get these days? Attorneys make $300-$500 an hour. And on a civil case, on a personal injury case, on a lawsuit where an attorney thinks that they have a good chance of winning, they take it with no money down. They take it without any upfront fees. It's called a contingency. Contingency. They're contingent on winning the case. They're contingent on winning that or getting a settlement. and then they get 50% or a third. It's very, very important for you to understand all of the facts about the civil court process. I applaud people who want to be educated. I really think that people in this day and age need to explore, need to learn as much as they can about the field that they're in and the world that they're living in. People who have vast amounts of information, knowledge, training, you'll be able to spot them right off the bat. Why? How? Those are the people that can talk about any subject and keep on going. You probably know a few. You might even have family members. They can talk about sports. They can talk about politics. They can talk about church, government. They can talk about gardening. Well, how did they become so smart? How do they know all that? How? What they got, 15 degrees? No. They're like me. I'm constantly researching. I'm constantly looking things up. I have a question about something, I go right to the source. I begin investigating and compiling and learning everything I can about that product, that item, that topic. You're in the security field. You're going to be there for a while. You better know the civil law process. You better know the criminal law process. It really gets me when I talk to security personnel and they can't tell me the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony. They can't tell me the difference between trespassing and burglary. They don't know. I don't know. Shoplifting and robbery, what's the difference? What makes it a robbery? Yeah, I guess when they got a gun. Nope. I guess when they rob the cashier. Nope. Learn the business you're in. Spend some time researching it. Maybe you don't have the money for the college degree. Maybe you don't have the money for the online training. That's okay, no problem. A lot of people are self-taught. Some of the best musicians in the world taught themselves to play piano, taught themselves to play guitar, taught themselves to sing. Some of the richest people in the world don't have a college degree, never been to college a day in their life, but they're multimillionaires. How? Why? Because they found something that they believed in. They researched it. They built upon it. If you're in the field of loss prevention, security, law enforcement, make it something that you have great knowledge in. The more information you have, the better it's going to be. You know the old commercial years ago, a mind is a terrible thing to waste? Hey, ain't no joke about that. I know some prejudicial things were said about that commercial, but I tell you what, ain't nothing to be ashamed about when you're educated, whether you're self-taught or whether you go to college. You need to know as much about subjects, about what's happening around you as possible. You've got to know about the civil court process. Start researching it. Start getting online. Start going through. There's a lot of legal websites, law websites, that you can learn all kinds of things. There's a lot of certificate programs out there that you can get certificates in. You can even be a paralegal, get a certificate online that's ABA approved, American Bar Association approved. And that certificate right there will get you a $50,000 job. So you can make a lot more money, you see? But you have to know what the differences are. You've got to know what the law is. You've got to know how to apply it. One thing I did when I first got involved in loss prevention back when I was just 18, I said, I got to know what's going to happen when they get arrested. Yeah, I know they get to go to jail. What's going to happen after that? What about the court process? I started learning on my own the penal code, the statutes, the civil process. Okay, Chuck wants to know. Chuck is one of our members that emailed me, and he wants to know his boss has told him a number of times when a fight breaks out at the bar, at the nightclub, don't call police. Chuck wants to know What happens if he doesn't call police and somebody gets injured? That's a very good question. And this could happen on any property, any business. First of all, you have to know what your job duties are, okay? You have to understand what your employer wants you to do, what the requirements are, what the duties are. There are two things that we teach about scope of authority. Scope of authority means what you can do legally under the law as a security officer and what your duties are, what your employer will allow you to do. There's been a number of times in my career, in my years in security and law enforcement, honestly, when I didn't like the fact that I couldn't do this or that. I've mentioned this before in my radio program. Some police departments won't allow you to make traffic stops during certain times, or they want you to make traffic stops during other times, or they won't allow you to make certain arrests or whatever. Security departments that won't allow you to make apprehensions, detentions. Security departments that won't allow you to help somebody who's having a heart attack or bleeding to death. Security departments that won't allow you to get involved in criminal activity because of the liability issue, because they're afraid of being sued. They're afraid of losing their pants in court. They're afraid of going out of business because they're broke after somebody sued them. The reason why they're afraid is because they know their personnel, their staff, does not have the proper training. It's all about the training. It's all about whether or not you've adequately prepared your personnel for the job that they've got to do. Most security companies, proprietary and contract, know that their staff is not properly trained. So, of course, they're worried about the liability aspect. They're worried about being sued. So, Chuck, to answer your question, and those of you who are listening, your employer sets the rules. If you don't like the rules, don't work there no more. If you can't live by them, don't work there no more. How many times have you read in recent months, retail employee fired because they apprehended a shoplifter against company store policy? Fresh Market employee recently apprehended a shoplifter. Good job, good apprehension. The person stole a lot of product, but the employee got fired. The employee contacted the media, contacted an attorney, was going to sue Fresh Market or the company. No grounds. Why? Because it was written in black and white. Employees are not to approach shoplifters. That's not their job. That's not what they're trained to do. We don't want them involved in apprehensions of shoplifters. So what happened in essence is the employee violated company policy, violated the risk aspect, the risk assessment, the liability issues. He jeopardized the company because he could have made a false arrest. He could have made a false apprehension. The company would have been sued. So in that situation, there was no lawsuit. The Employment Commission found there was no EEOC violation on the termination because the employee violated policy. Companies are not stupid. Let me tell you this. Companies have it in black and white for a reason. Most companies make you sign on the dotted line. This is your policy book. Sign right here that you received it, that you acknowledged it. So that when you mess up, when you screw up, when something happens, they can blame you. They can say, no, we told him not to do this. We told him, we trained him the right way. We told him he couldn't do that. He couldn't do this. He did it anyways. So, Chuck, if your employer does not want you to call the police during a fight, that would be the wrong thing. However, they have the say-so, not you. You're an employee. They're their employer. If you can't go along with the process, find another employer. If there's a brawl and a fight, you have to do your best to break it up. If it gets out of hand, you may have to call law enforcement. And I will tell you this too. In every state that I know of, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say in every state, period, it's a crime not to report a felony. So if somebody is robbed, raped, stabbed, shot, you have to report it. Anyways, you have a duty to report under the law. If there's been a child molested, if there's been a child abandoned, if there's been a child neglect, you have a duty under the law to report. So if you are working in a nightclub, if you are working in property, and your boss says, I don't care who, what happened, they can do drugs, I don't care, they can stab, they can shoot, I'll just let it go. I just recently read in Charlotte, North Carolina, a nightclub was shut down because security repeatedly allowed those kind of things to happen. Excuse me. And they were shut down, put out of business. Yeah, but it's private property. I don't know. Nope. Private property doesn't count when a felony is committed on the property. You're not law enforcement. The owner is not law enforcement. Every felony has to be investigated by police. Sometimes a misdemeanor can be overlooked. Sometimes a minor crime can be overlooked. Police themselves have the option to overlook a minor crime, not to charge a person. They can overlook a public intoxication case. They can overlook a trespass. They can decide not to prosecute certain minor crimes. But not a felony, not a rape, not a sexual assault, not a drug case, not a weapons charge. There are certain felonies, all felonies, have to be reported. So if you're a security officer and your department manager, your employer, does not want you to report the incident, you're going to be negligent. You're going to be liable if something happens and it's a felony. So I want you to think about that for a second. I want to play this tape before we close. I want to give you a heads up. It's a violent tape, and it's vulgar. If you're offended by that, please turn your volume down. Don't go away. Just turn your volume down for about 5 minutes. This is an actual case. Police responded in Phoenix to some gang activity. A couple of people were armed, and then this is what happened. Again, remember, this is violent and vulgar.
That's great.
Air to Janet, she came in.
And over here at 64th and Clarendon, they're in the house on the south east corner. They just looked over the
Where are they at? doesn't take much in the business that we're in to be in a situation to have to make the call, to be in a situation when you're going to be liable for what happens. You're going to be liable for the outcome, as you heard in this call. Routine in nature for Phoenix PD. How many times do they get called about people loitering, gang activity? That's a routine call in their area. But as the officers approached on foot, talking casually among themselves, it went from casual to an instant foot pursuit to shots fired. Officers' lives at risk. It happens to you and I every day. We're faced with it. Those of us who work housing project security, patrol duty, we have been there. It could happen to you. It doesn't take much. My point to drive home to you is not to have to think about what to do, not to have to be worried about what's going to happen if you make the wrong choice, but have the knowledge, the training, the experience behind you to understand how to act, how to react in that situation. I understand you don't have all of the training of a law enforcement officer. I understand that some of you have no college background, have no other experience in the field. I understand that. But this job calls for you to be a quick thinker. This job calls for you to be experienced in your area. Understand what you need to do, how you need to respond. These police officers had to, just out of the blue, who knows what they were doing 2 minutes prior to the call. Most police departments, most police officers go from nothing going on to all of a sudden being in the middle of a foot chase, being in the middle of a pursuit. It happens all the time. And when you make the wrong decision, when you're negligent, you can face the civil liability aspects of the job. It's imperative, if you're listening to me tonight, today, it's imperative that you understand what your duties are, what your responsibilities are, how you should respond in every situation. I can't change the fact that your employer doesn't want you to report to the police when things happen. I can't change the fact that your employer doesn't want you to perform first aid CPR. That's wrong. I'll tell you that. You are going to be held culpable, responsible in the event that something happens. You can be sued. There's a case going on in Florida right now where a security guard sat out in a golf cart in a shopping center. He knew from previous calls at this hair salon that there had been some problems with the ex-boyfriend coming there causing problems. He spotted the boyfriend, knew who the boyfriend was, saw that he'd got out of his vehicle carrying a gas can. This happened last year, by the way. It just went to court, just got a lawsuit filed on it. He saw the suspect carrying a gas can inside the hair salon, didn't get out of his golf cart, didn't confront the suspect, didn't try to stop him, didn't call 911, didn't interfere, didn't get involved, didn't ask questions, didn't do anything. The suspect poured the gasoline onto the woman, lit her on fire, killed her as she burnt to death in her hair salon. The security guard sitting just feet away outside the front door. Hey, maybe he was scared. Maybe he was worried. Maybe he was frightened of the person, the size. But everybody's got a cell phone these days. Everybody can call 911. If you don't got a phone, go to a store, go to a gas station, go to where a phone is, flag an officer down. Everybody has a duty to react, to respond. That could be fulfilling your duty by calling 911. But in this situation, he sat in the parking lot while the whole incident went down from A to Z until the person died. The suspect fled out the back door, took off. Someone, a patron or someone coming in, screamed, yelled, called 911. It was only at that point, according to what I've read, that the security guard got involved. Is he culpable? You better believe it. Is his company responsible? You better believe it. Are they going to get sued? They already have. Are they going to lose their pants? You better believe it. Are they negligent? You got that right. That guard company probably will not be in existence this time of year. Next year, they're probably going to be out of business. You see, first of all, as human beings, how can we stand by and let people suffer? How can we stand by and not react, not respond, when we know that something is happening as serious as this, as we see the suspect going in and we know from prior experience, prior contact, that he is an ex-boyfriend and he is violent or has been violent or has been trespassed? How can we just sit back and go, oh, I'm not worried about it. Not going to worry about it. As human beings, we're stopping on the side of the road every time we see a dog get hit. At least most people do. We see an animal in trouble, guess what? Most people run to aid the animal. But here we have a human being. We see a human being falling down in the grocery store, having a heart attack. We're the security guard, but we're not going to do nothing? We see an ex-boyfriend coming on the property that we know we've trespassed. He's carrying a gas can into the business. What do you think he's doing? Filling up the lawnmower to cut the grass in the back? Give me a break. Something's not right. Something is askew. Something is amiss. You understand? If you've got any sense to you whatsoever, you know something is up. Whether or not you want to confront him, that's your business. But if you don't, it could be negligence, culpability in the death, in whatever the outcome is. We have a responsibility. We have a duty to act. We have a duty to perform under the contract of our client. Take some action. Take some step to correct the wrong, to confront, to respond. The more you know, the better off you're going to be in this business. Training is the key. I understand that if you've got a boss that just doesn't care, that's just there for the bottom line, for the billable hours, I understand that you're limited in what you can do. But he's not going to fire you for calling the police when somebody's being lit on fire. He's not going to fire you for calling the police when somebody just robbed the patron, the store, when shots were fired, when somebody's life's at risk. He's liable if you don't call. Have a better understanding of your responsibility, of your duties on your property. Get a copy of your post orders. If you don't have a copy, ask him, your boss, whoever it might be, to write down what your duties are. You want a clear understanding. If he won't do that for you, he's not worth working for. Let me say that one more time in closing. If he's not willing to tell you what your duties are, to clarify your responsibilities, then he's not worth working for. You're in the wrong job. You're at the wrong location. Get another job. Part three, we're going to be talking about the legal process. What happens when someone files a lawsuit? What are your options? What will be the outcome? And if someone does get a judgment against you, what happens then? How is it fulfilled? Whether you care about being sued or not, it's a good information for you to know, because every creditor, every credit card company, every attorney, every debt collector uses the civil court process to collect their debt, to collect and recover bad debt. If you have any bad debt, you might want to be listening on the next segment, because I'm going to show you, I'm going to tell you all the steps that happens from step C. Well, that ends tonight's segment and tonight's radio program as it begins to storm here in the metro, thunder and lightning. We're glad that you were with us. Please email us if you have any concerns, comments, or suggestions. And we'll be back on the radio with part three on Sunday. Until then, be blessed, stay safe, and of course, I'll talk to you again right here on the radio.